Welcome to this week's episode of Bob Knows Best, a weekly podcast where we talk about kitchens, interiors and the construction trade on a whole, while we get some stories and insights from the man himself, Mr. Bob Ruler. My name's Anthony Taylor, I'm a sales manager at BKNC and I'm here with Bob. How are you, Bob?
Yeah, very good, mate. Yeah, well.
Good. We've got a new guest.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Andy Russell, the owner of IDS Interior Door Systems. Welcome.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Great. Go on, then give us an introduction onto IDS for those who don't know who
Interior
you are.
Interior Door Systems is a company that was established in 1996. It was from an attempted management buyout of Pilkington Glass's furniture division. I started when I was 18 with the guy which is my co-director at the moment. I say at the moment because he's going to be, well, he's been retiring for the last 4 years, but he keeps fluctuating with his dates.
I don't know how he feels.
So we both started on a youth training scheme, 25 quid a week. Mum took 20, I kept a fiver, that's how it was. So then I think we just got evolved into the whole of the making doors, mainly sliding wardrobe doors rather than hinge wardrobe doors. And then the company grew and then it was sold out to Pilkington Glass. And it was at a time when Pilkington Glass in 1995 were making heavy redundancies. It was just the worst time to start a business. So hey presto, great idea at the time. We can do that. So I approached what was the sales director and he joined me. He was going to be a 10% shareholder, but they said because he'd been giving me guidance and advice while he was still employed, it terminated his contract of employment because it appeared he'd been working and coercing me to set up in competition with them. So I thought, right, I've got to do something. So I found out how much he was going to get in his pension. So I thought, right, what I've got to do is bring enough wealth to the pot with his experience and take him on. So I needed to give him more shares and make sure all the money that he would have lost if it had stayed on at the glass company, that he's no worse off, he's actually going to be better off. So Joe was with us for about 15 years and then sadly he passed away quite quickly with cancer. And it was really, really tough. Yeah. But by this time, we'd moved into a factory where it was 22,000 square feet. We employed about 16 people at the time and we thought we didn't want to move again. Mm. So we only needed probably 8,000 square foot, but we moved into 22. Think big, build the foundations, go and get the work, rather than go and get the work and think,
keep moving. Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
We done the other thing. We started on a little warehouse, then went to a bigger warehouse, and then we went to where we are today. So we done it the other way around, and it was wrong. I should have started here and saved all the money and the costs of moving three times.
I was being selfish because I didn't want the cost of moving three times, and because I was the major shareholder, I thought, well, this is all down to me.
Yeah. And it costs you a lot of money to move as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's not so much the physical financial cost, it's the upheaval. And what we were very, very proud to do is during that two-month move is that we had two production lines running. So we never ever got behind on any deliveries. And now we employ 28 people. We're now filling 22,000 square feet and we're about to mezzanine.
Yeah. Wow.
I also bought a steel mill in 2014 and thought it was a good idea at the time. But crikey, it's worse than buying a second-hand photocopier. The maintenance man, well, we're on best friend terms. And that's the problem when you buy machinery, it might be settled where it was by the steelworks there in Deeside, and then we moved it to Warrington. So we just bought the assets of the company, the steel mill, and we moved it. Best thing we ever did. Looking back, but it's been painful.
Yeah.
Very, very painful. Yeah. But now we've got control and now we're able to buy direct from British Steel, which is amazing.
British.
Yeah.
As well.
And also we buy all Pilkington glass.
Yeah, British.
So we try, and the wheels we buy in from, or the running gear we buy from Knaresborough. Mm. So we're very, very proud that nothing on that door comes from anywhere else other than Great Britain.
That's brilliant. I am, as everybody knows, so screwdriver incompatible. Right, I like
that's
it. I like
diplomatic
it.
Way of putting
right. I'm a DIY disaster. I mean, honestly, so that's why we don't make anything, really. Right, but that's why we've tied up with yourselves, you know, because we design and we can sell, and you can manufacture, we can deliver and put it out there. you know, and it's like with our kitchens, and we're developing the brand Kooky, which is going to be an amalgamation of our kitchens and wardrobes.
I think it's magic, and it should have happened probably 4 years ago in hindsight, retrospectively.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think we were well on that journey 4 years ago.
Yeah, we were, you know.
But I think it's about the right people in the right team at the right time.
The dovetailing now does feel quite you know, and
quite euphoric,
and you know, it's a part of BKNC's portfolio now of product, you know, that we for years were Solus Nolte. We're still a big supplier of Nolte, our major supplier, but we do Keller, introducing bedrooms, sliding doors and bedroom furniture and walk-in wardrobes, right? So we need to, you know, which will be supplying us, and so we can give a complete service now.
Interestingly enough, we, in March of this year, had the KBB exhibition where we had a two-story stand, and we put, for feedback, the Kooky Living logo up. We were maybe 30 metres from Nolte.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were 40 metres from Fisher Paykel. We were right in the heart of the KBB area of that exhibition.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that we came across, and Kooky Living at that time was only really conceptual thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the amount of people that we spoke to commercially, which said they wanted one-stop shopping, ownership, responsibility, quality of service, quality of product.
I think that's even more relevant now. I mean, in past programs, we talked about COVID-19 and where it's left us and what have you. But from a contractor's point of view, developer's point of view, the less people you deal with, the better. So by us doing a bigger range with bedrooms, wardrobes, sliding doors, kitchens, appliances, stone, worktops, the whole complete package, the client only needs to deal with one person, as opposed to having two or three different trades in to a project, you know. And also, we can organise the logistics of it all, that everything turns up when it should do. We have on-site management, etc. So together, the two companies.
I think it's magic, and I think to put some statistics down, commercially, we produced over 32,000 wardrobe doors last year.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of doors. That's
but you know, this year we've exceeded that.
Really?
Even through lockdown period of time. Yes, we had to close for a while, just like everybody else did. But it's been phenomenal. The numbers, the numbers are up. The house building market, are we on the crest of a wave? Are they just catching up? Is it the stamp duty? Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I think people are looking more maybe at the type of property they live in now, because the fact is people are spending more time in that property. You know, I think we will need to look again in Kooky Living, our portfolio, maybe as office furniture and home office centres. So I think the developers, if you're building a house, a detached house now, you've got to build in maybe one or two offices, because you could have the husband and wife working from home.
Flexi living is, I think, has got to come in.
No, because I think now we've all got used to working from home. I was old-fashioned me, you know. Oh, no, I've got to go in the office because whatever. Yeah, I love going in the office, but I can still work from home.
That's right.
You know, I've got it all set. I'm 64 next year, and I only look 21, guys and people out there.
He doesn't.
Right. Oh, can I have a 69?
No, anyway. right. But... And things have moved on. I mean, my Harry, Dudley and James, they're so much more up onto the new media platforms that there are today. They make it look easy, where we struggle, you know what I mean? I mean, I have Ant do this podcast for us, and I like doing it because it's nice to get out there, and we've got an audience now all over the world.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. So maybe Kooky could be down there in Australia soon.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you about something going through the wall. We had the steel mill built, and the company that came to measure it all up said, everything's okay, switch it on, steel goes straight through a breeze block, knocks a breeze block out, straight into next door about a metre. So it's missed this guy, but then we realised the machine is too big for the unit.
Wow.
Because the steel to be cut at, say, 6 metres, is going to go into next door. So what we had to do is have a temporary arrangement with the people next door with a big hole in the wall for about 3 months.
All right, boys, we're being
serious. And we were there. You know, we look back in time when you said, tell us a little bit about interior door systems. And we were chuckling to ourselves, me and my business partner, Carl, who sadly got stabbed when we went to Barcelona together with 20 other people, and just for his watch.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why he's going into the police station to report the first mugging that he's had.
Then he gets mugged at the police station.
Yeah, you're back to the police station.
Goes to the hospital to get stitches done, and then somebody turned him over there as well. He's got nothing left.
God, grief.
I was sitting on the front of this boat in...
Didn't he come back about 8 o'clock in the morning?
Right, I'm sitting there because I'm always up early and the sun's out. It was in the harbour at Barcelona. Fantastic. We're going to the Grand Prix, Barcelona. It was a good few years ago. And I thought, hey, there's a car walking down here. But he looked like he'd just gone for sort of... And I think I actually said to him, because I tell you how long ago Lennox Lewis was world champion. I said,
wow.
I said, you mentioned...
2014,
yeah. I said, you mentioned that you've been... If I'm Tyson or Lewis or something. He said, no, he said, you wouldn't believe this. And he was shaking. Right? And then, anyway, he got mugged for the first time, right? Then, so he went to the police station. Right, now he went to the police station to report the mugging. On his way into the police station, he got mugged again and his watch stolen, right?
That's right.
Then he went to the hospital because he'd been stabbed and beaten up, right? And he got mugged there!
Wow.
But yeah, honestly, it was
an eventful trip.
Yeah, it was a great trip. You know,
we
went to the old Grand Prix, and I loved it. It was Barcelona, it was beautiful.
But just before that, Bob, I don't know whether it's a cat with nine lives, but the forklift broke down, and we thought it was the charger. So what we thought we should do is just plug it into a normal plug.
Oh, no.
So I wired it up, I told Carl, just flick it with a broomstick to press on, and we should be good to go soon. Because we've got a lorry to unload at 8 o'clock at night and we need help. Because we also import, I know we talked about buy British, but we also import extrusions from Germany to make the Roblox system. And it's a fingertip touch system. I thought I'd just get that one in, whisper quiet. And we've got no forklift. So he presses it. He flew. And then the thing that... He pressed the switch, he comes and bangs him straight in the head. Oh, and I was at a distance watching. But the boom of white light, wow, you should have seen it, and the bang. So the system, that won't work then, will it? What's plan B?
So we've sort of covered the history of IDS. Now, what is IDS's day-to-day sort of place in the market? What does IDS do now, 2020?
Interior door systems produce one-stop shopping for the bedroom. So that would be carcasses, doors, interiors delivered, as well as we also offer a home delivery service. Yes, we a small element of fees to that, but what we've done by supplying 80 different builders merchants throughout the country is we offer home delivery service. So since we've been doing that, the sales have, well, they've overtaken every expectation that you would expect from a day-to-day builders merchants. And we found that the biggest pain that they were encountering was one, education. So we spent some money on some training. And secondly, they didn't want to touch the product. And by not touching the product seemed to be the biggest winner. So for us now, we've got, I think, 84 different builders merchants which are active, inactive. Do you know what? Some of them, Bob, they... Quite unexpectedly, and really nice surprises, some don't even have displays because they can't warrant the space, or they don't have the space, or it's a new product line to them, and they've sold them off brochures. Also, what they've done is done one-stop shopping with their local house builder, where they're supplying them everything from the bricks to the sand, to the roof tiles, to the bathroom suites, sanitary ware, the kitchen, and the bedroom. One-stop shopping. And we're noticing this theme come from Scotland down, and it's coming down through various builders merchants that we're involved with, is that they are starting to adapt. The builders merchants...
Well, that's my background, builders merchants.
Well, yeah.
That's where I started. And they've always been very slow to react, builders merchants.
Well, do you know the best thing that we can say to them is, you know, see that lorry over there? Times that by 3 full of plasterboard, 6 lorry loads of sand, or sell one sliding door system?
That's right.
Would you rather do?
That's why I came into
kitchens. You know, the profitability
back in the day, I mean, I was selling building materials and especially plumbing materials, and I realised that you'd come away with an order for, like, 15 million CU1s, 15 mil, and it'd be worth a tenner. You know what I mean? And though it sounds nice and it's a big order,
yes,
you're not actually making much. And then we sort of drifted into kitchens, and with Alno, we started with an English company first, and then we took on Alno. And that's really where I cut my teeth, because it was a lot. You sold a kitchen in them days for £3,000 or £4,000, and it was a lot easier sell than selling 15 billion CU1s. Like, you know what I mean? So it was more interesting, because when you put a kitchen in or a furniture into a property and it looks nice, it's a bit rewarding, isn't it?
Totally rewarding. I mean, we've got actively just short of 330 retailers throughout the UK. We've probably got another 400 inactive. And what we need to do is bring on them inactive customers. They were a customer one day.
Yeah.
So why have we allowed them to go to be a lapsed trader?
Yeah.
What is the reasons? Sometimes we're chasing, too busy chasing, instead of nurturing what we've got.
Yeah.
And the energy this year and next year, because of our growth pattern, is to actually maintain and get back and recover what we've lost.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier once you've got the customer that's dealt with you.
Yeah, and you build a relationship. I mean, we're very good. That's one thing we're pretty good at. You know, we haven't got many customers, because in our industry, it's slightly different. We don't need many customers. What we want is them customers to have many sites.
Yeah.
And then you deal with that one customer for them sites, and then you can give them the service they require and everything else, and it just grows. And that is a chemical reaction just keeps growing, providing
Bob, you
do a good job.
You did inspire me many years ago when you started buying lorries, and I thought, we've got all these 3.5 ton sprinters going up the motorway. Why don't we just invest in lorries?
Yeah.
So then I got my head around thinking, right, well, okay, we could do this with research and development. Why don't we invent our own box to go on a lorry?
Yeah.
Because we thought we were the dog's doodars, because we bought a steel mill, we thought we could do everything. So we decided to do everything. So we went to this coach builder and said, could you use Kevlar and carbon fibre?
Yeah.
He could. He said, but it's going to cost you a fortune. I said, well, I disagree. And bear with me while I explain why I'd like to disagree. So we went through all the costs, and we then calculated how many wardrobes would fit on a lorry in comparison to, say, a normal 7.5 ton lorry, where you could load it with 1.25 tons. So we're getting nearly 4 ton.
Yeah.
So over a period of 3 years, this Kevlar and carbon fibre strengthening beams, it all worked. So it might have cost us a lot of money, but it was a huge investment. Because the drivers just do multi-drops, and we've now got 3 of them on the road.
Yeah.
Best thing we ever did.
Yeah, I mean,
when I seen your lorry, it did scare me, because I thought, it's still sticking out through half the wall. Come back, Dudley.
Yeah, I mean, we just booked 2 new lorries, because I've just ordered them, because they're going into London now, right? As of April, you've got to have some Euro new engine fangled angle thing. And our old lorries hadn't got the fangled angle thing. So it's going to cost us, I think, either £250 or £500 a trip into London. So with that, and they were getting on a bit, so I made the decision last week and ordered two brand new man lorries with sleepers, cabs, and all home comforts.
Well, maybe a year ago, Bob and I decided to speak to another friend of ours who has a vehicle leasing company.
Yeah.
And we said, right, what we'd like to do is go completely carbon neutral.
Yeah.
Why don't we, between the three of us, look at electric lorries?
Yeah.
So the man called Rich, he's like shaking his head. Me and Bob are already into it. Right, well, let's throw some money at it. We believe in this. And here we are.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd have stuck with that, 12 months on, we'd have been 12 months further on.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the way we have to.
Ford now bringing out a complete electric Transit.
Mercedes, even, and £8,000 incentive.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable.
The problem that we have is because we have one central point of distribution, and to go to London, Newcastle, Manchester, and other areas, right? Until they get the mileage that you can get 200-300 miles out of a charge,
yes,
it doesn't stack up. Or you've got to change your philosophy and have dispatch points all over country, and then you can deliver on electric.
I think that's the key, and I think growing opportunities for people with land and dormant warehouses will soon cotton onto the fact that, you know what, we don't want long-term tenants. We can actually just do storage and recover this money very easily,
because
just by being hubs.
I mean, the government has said this week that we're going to go electric vehicles, no petrol or diesel vehicles.
2030,
I'm crying because I am a car nut.
I know. V8, bring it on. I want a V8, you know. But I just bought a Corsa E. But
how is that new Corsa?
Yeah, it's good, mate. It's a milk. The only thing I'd say, Mr. Vauxhall, if you're listening out there, I've had in my Corsa E for precisely a week, not even a week, 5 days. And it's a super little car to run around in. Got all the gizmos on it. It's very nice. But the Hooter. The Hooter that I've nearly killed 4 pedestrians. Mr. Vauxhall, to put on the Corsa E a good...
Or you could get some of them cockatoos that have been found around Manchester.
So does the Corsa fall in line with all of the fangle-dangle legislation now?
Yeah, the Corsa does. I mean, but business has got to look. I mean, we have got to look, and it's quite seriousness of where do we go with transport in 2030? Because it is, you know, I've just said I've bought 2 lorries, and be honest, I've leased them because the fact is, where are we going to be with big lorries? You know, I think we're going to have to invest in satellite strategic warehousing where we do business, which you want on short term time, because sometimes you do a lot of business, say in Leeds, and then it dies off. You don't want to be tied into a lease then, so you want to be able to have a comfortable storage space in Leeds that you can take the goods to, or get the goods delivered direct to, and then take it out on electric vehicles. I don't know, it's all very new, but you know, companies have got to look at it, haven't they?
It's fast paced though, isn't it? It is fast paced.
I think everything's become fast paced because of technology, isn't it?
It's just life now, isn't it?
Yeah,
life,
I mean,
is fast paced.
The thing being, you've had COVID bring on, which you touched on before, working from home. That's gone on leaps and bounds. If you said a year ago that half the population would be working from home, we'd all be laughing. And here we are a year later, that's happened.
Yeah.
So house builders need to look at that on, you know, office space at home. You need also house builders, you need to build in charging points. I mean, I've just had my new place built, and I put a proper charging point in. It was a part of the thing that I did, you know, because I thought it's going to be needed. So why, you know, and again, heat pumps. You know why? Developers now, for the first time in my 45 years in the building game, have got to really start thinking about the future, because the premier, you know, a house has been a house for years and years and years and years. Now you've got to look at heating, heat pumps, electric cars. You're going to need at least two charging points at home, right? You're going to need, obviously, insulation and what have you. Carbon neutral products, you know.
Like our kitchens?
Well, yeah, our Keller kitchens is a carbon neutral product. But that's where it's going to go, isn't it? You know, waste, you know, it's going to be astronomically different. The whole world, you know. Central heating, should they be... If you can't have a heat pump, you should have electric boilers, you know. But the developers are not really, I don't think, have switched on to this yet, but I think they would have to.
I think the smaller ones are, but...
Yeah, the smaller ones are.
The big mass producers,
the
big boys.
The national boys have got... Yeah, the national boys, it's a big change, because the house types have got to be redrawn. You know, home officing, you know...
Bob, can I just come back to the electric car, because I'm intrigued to know, if you run your car flat, how long would it take to charge?
Good question.
Right, well, I've done that. Mr. Vauxhall, yes, I have. I run my little courser right down to where it was on, where it was on the red, red, and it told me that I had something like about 6 miles left in the charge. And I charged it overnight, and I went out in the following morning, and it was fully charged.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, I've just got a car coming, and the guy said, that's the charger, 1,600 quid.
Yeah.
It looks great, but if you have this one, it's going to take a total of 47 hours to charge your car.
What?
47 hours.
What the hell are you charging?
My car.
Jesus, man.
47 hours.
Buy a Corsa.
So I bought this new rapid charger, which will give in 23.
Yeah.
Jesus. 23.
23 hours?
Yeah.
That feels long.
That is very long.
So there's these new charging points that are going to be put at Marks and Spencer's or various...
Yeah, the fast chargers.
Yeah, so you can get 80% charge...
Yeah, in 30 minutes.
Yeah. So what I need to do before I go home is go to Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
Or go back to the garage and say, can I?
That does seem a long time, though.
It does. Yeah. What car is it, Andy, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm a bit embarrassed to say.
Is it a Corsair A?
No.
We both love cars, and I've got a Corsair A.
No, in honesty, it's a Porsche Taycan, and the entry-level one, but with a few bits and bobs on. And, sorry, Bob.
Oh,
bits and bobs.
Oh, your and, bedrooms are good, aren't they?
But, you know, I haven't driven one of these yet. My son has, and because I'm only just learning to drive again.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think I would give me a license. So he does most of the driving for me and takes me to places. So it's his job, as mission, what do you think of this car? So he thinks it's great, doesn't he? Having one of these for a day. He takes it around the Welsh mountains, and he thought he was a journalist for a day. Come back, give me the full SP.
Freddie Fleet Officer.
Yeah. And the one thing he said, no sound.
You can't
the
hear
most
it.
Emotive feelings you get.
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah.
It is true, that.
I mean, you've had some tasty cars, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. It is. You love that.
And a proper horn.
Yeah. And
instead
a,
of a...
Yeah. That was embarrassing, that is. I mean, when I first pressed it, I started laughing to myself. Because...
It's like having the Paddy and Mac sensor.
Yeah. It's like, I had a noddy car, when I pedal noddy car, when I was about three. You know, with the two pedals, you push it up and down. And it's got the same hooter as that.
I think that's ace.
It's
Ace is amazing.
Just before we wrap up, can we talk about the Jimny?
I met
Bob about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. I'd just come out of hospital. Met them for lunch. There's a few of us. Dave was there, and Bob was, Rich was there, and Bob was there. So we all met for lunch. So I'm looking at this majestic motor car outside, this great big Mercedes SUV, Bob's number on the plate. What do we hear? A couple of minutes later, Bob's telling us a story about his neighbour. He's stuck up a mountain in the snow. His next door neighbour down the lane comes up in a little Suzuki Jimny. So Bob says, I want to buy that off you. Would he like any bread and milk? Sorry, I missed that bit. So Bob's thinking, I'm stuck on a mountain with a stunning car, can't go anywhere. I need a Jimny. So I think I'll let you take it from here.
Well,
but don't forget the electric aerial.
Oh, yeah. But then I couldn't believe it. I had an £80,000 top of the range GLE Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, could go anywhere, right? Other than anywhere in snow, and I had winter tyres on it the whole lot. Right, so I phoned Rich up and have a go at him. It's nothing to do with him, because he just sorts my cars out. But I thought I'd have a go at him anyway. Right, so anyway, I had to go. Rich, this go anywhere Mercedes? She said, get up and down mine. I said, it won't move. He said, we've got thick snow. I said, well, you know, it's life anyway. But so I'm standing there at the bottom of my driveway, clearing away the snow, and then a mate of mine comes past in this little red 20-year-old Suzuki Jimny and says to me, Bob, you stuck? I said, yeah. And he said, well, I'm going down a shop, do you want some milk and bread and stuff? I said, oh yeah, go on, do that, yeah, gave him a little list of stuff. And off he went, came back up, dropped it all off, went up the big hill. He lived up further up the hill than me, went up the hill, and I went up back in the house, sat in the conservatory, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to buy you a Suzuki Jimny. I don't want one. I said, you do. Right, so anyway, this is gospel truth, right? Talking about controlling your price and where you are in the marketplace. It's a gospel truth. So I phones up TJ Vickers, who I've bought many cars off of, and speaks to Richard down there. Great guy. I said, Rich, I said, it's Bob Rudy here. He said, hello, Bob, how are you? I said, I'm all right. I said, I want a Suzuki Jimny. He said, well, so does everybody. I said, oh, yeah. I said, so he said, but he said, there's a new model coming out next year. They're really short after, da 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 da. There's no discounts, no da da da. I said, well, I don't want a new one. I want a second hand one. He said, well, he said, ain't none about. He said, like Bobby said, none about. He said, well, why don't you order a new one? I said, no, no, I can't be bothered. Anyway, put the phone down, phone me back. He said, you won't believe this. He said, the guy, he said, who's bought it off of me. I said, oh, here we go. Yeah. He said, no, seriously, Bob. He said, he's just come in here. He said, walked in. He said, it's done 3,000 miles. He's put loads of bits on it. It's a lovely car. It's got an electric aerial. I said, oh, great. Right. And anyway, he said, he wants to sell it. So I bought it off the guy, straight, bang, there and then. And it had an electric aerial. Turn the radio on and the aerial goes, old-fashioned, old-school, best receiving going. Anyway, so I bought it, bring it home, and this Suzuki Jimny went anywhere. I've got to say, it's the best four-wheel drive vehicle I've ever driven in my life.
Yeah.
In snow. Right? I mean, don't go on a motorway on it, but seriously, right? Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, we kept it for the winter, and I sold it in the summer, and I made $4,000 on it.
Wow.
$4,000, because they were sought after. And Suzuki, with a new model, right, the new model Suzuki Jimny, which is very good, I've got to say, but I haven't bought one because I now moved off the hill when I live on a flat, right, is a very good car, right? But they restricted the supplier to the UK. So you can't get them. You go into a Suzuki Jimny or Suzuki dealer and want to order and spec a car, right, you mostly wait 6-8 months for it now.
Wow.
And they sell it for £22,000 and you can't get any discount off them.
Jesus.
Unbelievable. Right, and it's a cheap one.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, is that restriction because I've just been buying some aluminium billets from China and there is a 48% aluminium dumping tax?
I think it might be something to do with.
And
yeah.
The steel one has just been lifted after 9 months and now they've converted it from steel to aluminium. So any aluminium products that you buy from China will now be 47 to 48% taxation on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's.
But we, I mean, it goes back to the world became too dependent on China, isn't it?
You
know?
Yeah.
And it's got to be, you know, we've got to start, as I said in episode one, which is great speaking with Andy here, saying we've got a British product. We've got to start making things again.
Well, you know, in Gloucestershire, there was a company called years and years ago, Gloucester Aluminium, and now it's part of the Hydro Group. It is coming back to Britain.
Yeah.
I'm delighted.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've got to do.
And Ford Scorpios are the other vehicle with electric pop-up aero, like you haven't mentioned.
Ford Scorpios? Yeah. I just
Scorpio Granada?
It was a Gear X, and if you had a Gear X,
yeah,
you were...
Yeah, Burgundy, mine. Burgundy. Grey interior.
Right.
With a shiny leather seat.
Yes.
With sandpaper in your pants. You go around a bend, don't leave the door open. You've just lost your kid.
Talk about. I know you're a Range Rover fan, right? I've never liked them that much, but I borrowed one off of a great old mate of mine. I've seen him for many years, a guy called Simon Burgess. And he lent me his Range Rover to go over to Ireland. He was going to fly over and was playing golf. And so I took the lads over in his Range Rover, brand new. Vogue, I think it was the top of the range.
Nice.
Right, we went round the bend, right, and you just cuddled each other because you'd leaned so far over.
They were
awful pieces of kit. They're a bit better now, aren't they? They're a lot better now, but
I think it's
cuddly cars. They are cuddly cars.
Cuddly cars.
And that's what a Granada was. You sit on the back seat. And there you go.
Brilliant.
But anyway, on another thing, Christmas is approaching.
Christmas is approaching.
Yeah.
Wow.
This year's gone far. You know, it's been a very, very different year and a different year, isn't it, for everybody, isn't it?
On the subject of Christmas, I was reading an article last night, and obviously there's rumours going that the government are considering relaxing lockdown restrictions for Christmas so families can get together, whatever. And then there was some feedback in another article that was saying for every day we relax restrictions over Christmas, we will have 5 extra days of restrictions as a result
to
combat the effects.
Yeah.
That's big numbers.
One of my little grandchildren said, if we're in lockdown, how's Father Christmas going to get here? Now that is very, very serious.
Yeah.
You know, how is Father Christmas going to get here?
I mean, socially distanced.
Yeah.
He's only got reindeers with him, and I think they're exempt.
Oh, right, okay.
So, so yeah, as long as he sanitises before going down chimneys.
Yeah, but
he might slow down a bit faster, a bit of hand sanitizer than a chimney.
He'll have to have a mask on as well, won't he?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got the beard as well, and having a beard.
Yeah, well, you know.
And wearing a mask.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Well, you're going to love this one, I have to tell you. When I was in hospital, sorry about referring back to hospital, but it was a sad time in my life, but an amazing time in my life, because I had a year in hospital following a brain hemorrhage and an aneurysm and then a stroke. The, I don't know what they call them, when they come round to your house, occupational health visitor to check that the house is okay. So I said to the girl, yeah, we'll be all right. The doors are really wide enough for a wheelchair and stuff. Well, we still got to come to your house and have a look. Anyway, we're driving through Liverpool and then we get near home. And she said, wow, there's cows there. So anyway, I'm thinking, okay, there's a cow. So then she said, what's the time difference between Wales and Scotland? Because we're thinking of getting married, but we weren't sure on the time difference. And then to crack it all, so I was talking about her family, and then she said, her father was a part-time Santa Claus in Harrods. So then I'm thinking, part-time. So then I said, well, what does he do then from January to November? She said, well, he's a part-time Santa, isn't he? Do you know what? It was hilarious.
Right. I was talking earlier, I said we had a lovely couple of days with the family down in New Forest. Anyway, one of my lovely, lovely, lovely daughter-in-laws phoned up and said, how are you going to get to Cornwall? Because it's in lockdown and it's a part of Wales. Right? So obviously she didn't do very well at school in geography, because one is who's going to the New Forest and that's not in Cornwall, and two is I didn't think Cornwall was in a part of Wales. Right. So it's amazing. She absolutely was convinced that Cornwall was in Wales.
Excellent.
Oh yeah.
Excellent. So what is the time zone difference between Wales and Scotland?
Bleeding lot.
Okay. Right. So. And at the end of every episode, what we do is an Ask Me Anything. And we have an email address where people can email this address for a question. It's usually for Bob, occasionally for me. Any kind of question they want to ask, and we will do what we can to answer it. We haven't got anything this week to ask. So my question to you for the Ask Me Anything, I've hounded Bob with this question on virtually every episode of the podcast. So my question for you is, what's your predictions for next year, 2021? And that means business, people's personal lives, even hobbies, you know, like going to the gym or anything. What's your predictions for 2021?
My prediction, that's a tough one. I think, sadly, gyms, leisure clubs, all the people that have invested so heavily to be so competitively in the lead. I've just seen near where I live at Carden Park, something like £3 million invested, and it won't be used.
Yeah.
And I don't really think, because of the pandemic, it's going to be lifted probably. It may be lifted July onwards, but I can't really see it being any more than that.
Yeah.
Business-wise, we are on the cusp of new build work will slow down, but retailer home improvement work, I think, will continue.
Mm-hmm.
People, we were talking about holidays before, where some people have had the opportunity to carry it over.
Yeah.
Some people have had refunds. So then the retailers' business is up. So we are expecting really a bit of a downturn from probably the third quarter of next year on the new build market.
Yeah.
But the retailer market, we are expecting growth. But V12s need to come back.
I also think the main money as well is the government will want to pay this money back. It's got to pay the money back, you know, 200 billion I think it is today. So we are going to be taxed heavier. There are going to be more indirect taxes. I think they're going to make it.
May I ask a question?
Mm.
And it's to Anne. How do you see being employed here at BKNC, how do you see next year?
Good one.
Sorry to put you on.
No, that's fine.
What goes around comes around and all that. From your perspective, interesting to hear.
So, if you, I don't know, if you want to call it sort of from my perspective in my job, I think you've got a point. Fortunately, we've sort of got our kooky living that we're working on. It's obviously going to be really attractive to a lot of developers where we might not be so successful at other times, especially while people are pinching pennies. But also, like you just said, in the retail aspect of things, I was saying to you earlier on before we recorded the podcast, all of my holidays booked this year, we just moved to next year, so everything's paid for. People are going to have spare money. And if they're not moving house, they are going to be renovating their own properties, aren't they? It was the same when I read about people when they used to buy their own council houses and the double glazing boom and all that kind of stuff. It's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. People are going to look to renovate their own properties and stay at home with the offices and
we as a company, we've had to expand our range of products we're doing. That's why we're tying up with IDS.
Yeah.
Cooker taps. We've just done a big deal with cooker taps. We are the most competitive people in the world on cooker taps.
Yes.
Right. You know.
In the world.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe the galaxy.
I don't know. Mars.
No. Let's not go too far.
No, there's a place in Mars that's doing them quite good. There's a lot of money you get there, especially in an electric car. But it's all about diversification and looking at the future. Like transport and whatever.
Well, I was trying to assess how does somebody who isn't the owner of a business, who is employed by a business, this is a very, very successful business, it's got great family longevity and it's got a great future ahead of it. But you working in this company, I think you've got a good spot in this company, may I say.
Thank you. I agree.
But other people, how do you think other people are feeling at the moment that are employed? Is there insecurity or?
I'll be honest, you don't mind me jumping in here, and I think everybody's a bit insecure at the present moment.
Yeah.
Because we do, us as business owners, people employed, people driving out there, whatever.
We're all reliant, aren't we, on somebody either pressing a button or coming
in. We don't know where this is going to go because we've never, ever, ever. This is not a Great Britain problem, it's a world problem. Yeah. And I've said in the past, what I would do is I'd abolish all world debt, right, and start again. Because in America now, they've got to put another 4 or 5 noughts on the end of that thing in New York, you know. It's never going to be paid back.
Let's draw a line, absolutely.
Yeah, draw a line and start again, you know. And maybe that's what, but it needs brave politicians, and I don't think there's any politicians in the world at the moment.
My family have said to me, Bob, how secure are you? And then you start thinking in your head and thinking different things. I feel that we're quite secure, but we've got to be able to have diversification. We've got to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
White goods is
killing. I mean, it's cost us this year on supporting national brands, right, of all makes and what have you, to our customers. I reckon it's cost our company colossal amounts of money. It's a world problem, it's my problem.
Correct.
Because
it comes back to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, because one is we've got to fulfil under contract our terms and everything to our clients, and we end up having to do it at our cost.
But if you are relying on retrospective rebates to add to your margin, and that is where the margin comes from, right now.
It squeezes everywhere. I mean, it's
strangling the opportunity.
It's been a tough year for us. I mean, luckily enough, touch wood, we have no bank borrowings and whatever, don't like the banks. But it's been a tough year. We had 10 weeks we didn't trade, and most businesses make their money in 2 months, don't they?
Yes.
They're net profit.
Yeah.
Right, and of course, when you take 10 weeks of that out, your overheads are still the same. Furlough, I think, has been a complete... It's been a help to a lot of businesses.
Right, so we're going to wrap it up there. Andy, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
No, thank you for
inviting
me.
We are going to invite you back. We are going to be doing a Kooky Living special.
Are we going to bring Tim in on that?
Yes.
Well,
Tim
from...
what was he saying the other day?
PRS to Penthouse.
PRS to Penthouse. That's us.
That's quite a day. So yeah, we are going to launch special. So we'd love to have you back. Thanks a lot for coming on. If you would like to know more, you can visit www.bknc.co.uk and you can find all the information you need and how to get in touch. And we will see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.